Well, no further ado, it's my privilege just to invite David over. I was over there some time ago, had a great time. He's over here now, hopefully having another great time. So he's going to bring us a word. So over to you. Thank you.
Good morning to you all. It's good to be here again. My name is David Katende, and I want to bring greetings from Uganda, where I'm a pastor of Life Changing Church. I'm also a family man, married to Flavia, and now we've got four children. Rebecca, who I just made 18, Moses made 15, Jacob is 12. And remember last time I was here, my wife was pregnant. Yes, she gave birth to a little boy who had just made 1 year. His name is Issachar. If you know Issachar in the Bible, it's the family that knew the times and seasons. So I wanted somebody in the house who will tell me what is going to happen tomorrow. So I don't have to worry about tomorrow because he would tell me it's going to rain tomorrow. Take your jacket. But also want to let you know that recently I've just been given a greater responsibility in church to oversee a province, which is the most influential province in Uganda, with 5 districts that surround Kampala, our capital. Such great responsibility because there are over 1,000 churches that I have to oversee. And this job is a voluntary job. But I'm inspired by the scripture when Jesus sent his disciples and gave them nothing. He said, don't take money with you. And I can see them going and asking Jesus, you don't understand. How are we going to buy the food? Where are we going to lay our heads? But Jesus will say such things that sound unreal to you. But afterwards, after a few days, he called them and said, tell me, when I sent you the other time without anything, did you lack anything anyway? And what was the answer? Nothing. So let us trust God for everything he has told us to do. We don't have to have everything in place to serve him. Because he's dependable. He can be trusted. He can never fail you. I want to thank the leadership of this church. Pastor Johnny, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak today. And all the elders, Phil, I don't want to mention names, Nigel and everybody, Ian. If I've not mentioned your name, the Lord knows your name. But thank you for serving God and each one of you that are contributing to the building of the kingdom of God in this area. The worshippers, intercessors, well-wishers, and spectators. The people just look and say, that's good. So thank you very much. We are also running a school. Some of you know that. We're running a school. It's not an orphanage. It's a proper school, but special school. We are raising leaders. Africa is suffering from good leaders. It's not because Africa is poor. I think if there's any continent that the Lord gave natural resources more than any other, it's Africa. But it's the nation that suffers most. It's a continent that suffers most. There's a little boy that has fallen in love with me, and I've fallen in love with him. He's a little boy. He just likes me. And his mom was telling me he has the passion for black people. And I was sharing with him things in Africa, and he was almost tearing down. I said, what do you think about Africa? He said, I think about the children that have no clean water. Now, all the resources in Africa end up in the hands of the few privileged people, leaders, the greedy ones. And sitting back, watching them is not an option. Getting a gun to get them out of power is not an option because that kills a lot of people. So when he prayed to the Lord, he said, I will not take away Saul, King Saul, if you have not prepared for me David. So prepare me a David, then I'll take away Saul. And therefore, we came up with this idea to start this school doing the ACE curriculum, if you know it, Accelerated Christian Education. And raising leaders. I mentor them every day. I speak to them. I tell them you're going to be the leaders. We give them Christian values. And we tell them the things they must do to have a corrupt-free mindset so that one day, when they come in power, they will change the entire continent. So pray with us. My wife is the principal. She says, if you come across people through their pastors, if there are people that want to volunteer to come and teach some English, please come and teach. Do you know some English here? Of course. Why not? Please come and teach some English to our children so they can speak good English. If you know mathematics, you can volunteer and come. Stay for 2 weeks. Teach some mathematics. Come back. Some of you are retired but not tired. Come and, if you know how to play some music, when it's done, please come and teach the children how to play music, international music, how to play the guitar and, the electric guitar. I don't know whether Ian will be able to come and teach the drums. Just volunteer and come and help us build Africa and build this team. I want to welcome my mom from South Africa. Phil doesn't know has no idea about South Africa and Uganda. South Africa is totally different. If you've been to South Africa, I've not been to Africa. Come to Uganda, we'll see what Africa is. But anyway, that's a little story about me and the things you're doing. And we have sent one child to, finished the level we do in our school, and she's gone to Switzerland. She's one of the best students in that Franklin University in Switzerland. The professor said for the last 15 years, he has never seen such a student, such a committed, highly performing student like the student that came from our schools. And she's the daughter of Pastor Georgie Castillo, who came here. So you can see how much you are importing in these children. So please pray for us that things work out. I've written a small book. I enjoy writing books, one of my hobbies. But it's also the gift that the Lord has given me. Slaying your giant. If you look at these letters, they're not standing very properly. Some of them are falling because the giant must fall down, must be slain. It's a wonderful book you can read. You can pick a copy for any gift to support the work we're doing in Africa. Amen. I know everyone is fighting a giant, whether we know it or not. We are fighting a giant in your life, probably fear, maybe a disease. Who is the giant? This is something that is bigger than you, that overwhelms you and puts you to fear. It's like scares you to death and you don't know what to do. Tell you what, giants are slayable. You can slay them. They're killable. You can finish them. No matter who you are, you can finish these giants, because I've discovered that giants are not real. They just scare you because of their size. The giant scared Israel for 40 days and 40 nights because they didn't know who they are. When David came to the battle, he had him once and finished him. You don't have to stay with that giant for many days, casting that fear in you. Because you're now not fighting one giant, but fighting two giants. The giant himself and fear. Slay him and move on. I don't like weak Christians. I want Christians that slay giants. Because Jesus gave us the power, no doubt about it, to trample on serpents and command diseases to disappear and command demons to flee. Don't sit back and suffer the troubles of the enemy. Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you that be strong and don't be dismayed. Trust in the Lord and have faith in the Lord. Amen. But today, let's go to work. Let's go to work. Matthew, I'm going to take my text from Matthew, chapter 13, from a very popular story that most of you know. I like preaching from popular stories, popular scriptures, because that makes easy for people to understand. There are very difficult stories in the Bible that you almost don't want to preach about. And I saw a lion coming with 7 heads, 7 horns. I don't want to preach about that. It's scary to some people. Matthew 13, verse 24 says, another parable. That means, I think this is the chapter when Jesus gave a lot of parables. By the way, I pray that you understand my accent. It's a little different. I pray that you really understand. I know some of you struggle with it. I always say, just as I struggle with yours. But I pray that Jesus will give us a common ground to understand each other. So another parable he gave forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed. Everybody say good seed. Yes, good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way before they woke up. But when the grain had sprouted and produced crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the sower owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy. He knew exactly who did it. An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? He said, nope. Lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Father God, anoint your word as I speak it out. Anoint my tongue as well, Lord. And as it comes out, let it be fire, because your word is fire. Your word burns. Your word is a hammer, the Bible says, that reduces rocks to pieces. Your word is life. As it comes out, let it give life. And your word heals. You send your word and heal us. As I speak it out, let it heal people. And let your presence be here to change and heal. By the time we finish, people will be on another level. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This is a story about the wheat and the tares. There are things that Jesus said, and some of the things I used to say, why did he say that? There was that Jesus said, and things that he did that I thought are problematic to the church. And I'm saying, why did he do that? I'll tell you an example. I don't know why he turned water into wine, because I thought he would have turned wine into water. And when you approach the skeptics, they'll tell you the things. When you meet drunkards, they'll tell you, no, he made it in Cana. There are things he says that don't really apply in the real world. He says, don't worry about what to eat. Don't worry about what to drink. Or where we'll stay. Don't worry about the things. And if you have lived here, you know that we always worry about what to eat. You can't tell me that I cannot worry about what to eat. People go to school and start to get PhD and all these, you know, degrees just to come and earn a living so that they can buy a house, eat food and drink, and live well, you know, and buy cloth. But Jesus says, don't worry about the things. I think the Americans call this hyperbole. I think in UK you call it hyperbole. No, that's kind of an exaggeration, saying things that do not really apply. So these words, Jesus came and he spoke and he did a few things that we thought he would not have said that, maybe. In this story, you're going to see some of that hyperbole or hyperbole. But I know why he says, don't worry. After studying the scriptures again and again, I discovered why he says, don't worry. Because I've known that worries drain life out of out of us. And he says, your Father in heaven knows what you need. And if you worry, you cannot add on your stature. You cannot add anything. Instead, you drain your life out of you. Worries are no good. They just kill your life. I discovered, okay, I shouldn't worry about these things. Because even when you worry, worry will not bring food on your table. You better have faith in God. And then things will move, because faith moves things from the unseen world to the seen world. And I've come to love to live by faith. In the evening, probably, when I speak here, I'll be talking the beauty of faith and how you can use faith to beautify your life. But Jesus brings this tear, parable about the tares and the wheat. So the text is about the seeds that were sown that the devil cannot resist. The Bible says he planted good seed. And Jesus was talking about the good seeds. So the master came, sowed his seeds in the ground. He got servants to come and look after his field. And the servants came, and the master had gone and left the servants in charge of the field. But while they slept, the enemy came in. Have you ever slept? Oh, yeah. I remember one time I talked to the devil when we moved to the new place where we are now. I encountered battles, spiritual battles with the devils, because it was a place of witchcraft and a lot of witch doctors. So they are able to locate who we are and where we are and what we've come to do from the spirit, because they're always in the spirit, they're able to see which church is good, which pastor is doing well. And they used to attack me. But I stood in the power of God and overcame them. And I told the devil, but all these attacks came while I'm asleep. When I was walking, I didn't get an attack. I mean, when I was awake, you know, driving or eating or sitting in my living room, there was nothing. But the demons used to come when I'm sleeping. And I'm saying to the devil, if you're really powerful, why do you find me when I'm asleep? Why do you come when I'm asleep? Why don't you come when I'm, you know, awake so that we can fight? How many people have seen these things coming when you are asleep? And they don't come when you're awake. So when the servants were asleep, the enemy came, because he knows when you are vulnerable. He knows when you are asleep. You are not vigilant. That's why the Bible says, be vigilant. We should not sleep in the spirit. We can sleep in the body, but we can never afford sleeping, you know, in the spirit. We must be vigilant. We must be watchful all the time. Because anytime you sleep, the enemy will come in and will sow his seeds. I think you know what I mean. When you become so weak, that's when the enemy comes in. He knows when we are vulnerable. At our weakest, he comes and he plants the seeds that have really bothered our lives. Anyway, they slept, and he came and also planted quickly, very quickly, before they woke up. So he planted tares very quickly all over the field. And then the Bible says, before they woke up, he ran away. Just, you know his ways, he ran away. So they didn't know what he had done, because they never saw him. Anyway, the seed sprouted. They came up. And then, to their surprise, they saw tares all over. They saw this wild wheat and said, they talked to their master, "Master, come and see. Did we not sow the good seeds? You brought the good seed. Why is it that we see the tares now?" Master being the master, he knew exactly that the enemy, he said, "The enemy did that. Don't worry, I know who he is. I know his ways. He has done that." Probably, the enemy had not sown the tares really to destroy the wheat, because the wheat was good. He could not do anything about the seeds, the good seeds. But he wanted to devalue the harvest so that the master gets less out of his field. So the master knew exactly who he was, and he knew it was the devil. Now the servants had a suggestion and said, "Master, do you want us to pluck it out? Should we bring it up and throw it away?" Now here comes the hyperbole. And Jesus said, "No." When you expect him to say yes, he says, "Don't move it. Don't remove it." And you don't understand why, Jesus, we should take away these things away from the good seeds. He says, "No." And you don't understand why he's saying that. He said, let them grow together. Grow together? Mm-hmm, yes. And he gave some wisdom and said, lest if you pluck out the tares, you may also pluck the good wheat. So leave it to grow together. We will see at the end. Now the story begins. The story begins. You are not alone. Thank you for becoming a Christian. Thank you for getting born again. But I want to tell you, you are not alone. There are tares all around us. When God created Adam and Eve, the enemy came in, and they were not alone. Sickness came in, trouble came in, murder came in, and they are not alone. In the beginning, it was good seed. It was Adam and Eve. It was God's presence. There was no sickness. There was no nothing. But the enemy came in. Now they are not alone. Thank you for getting married. I know it was a wonderful day, your wedding day. But the enemy always comes. Now your marriage is not alone. There are tears all around you. You have tested them. Thank you for having children, wonderful children. I've got four. Let me tell you, they are not alone. Rebecca's turning 18, and I see she's not alone. Tears all around her. When I married Flavia, it was a wonderful day. But when we started the journey, we discovered that we are not alone. And up to now, we are not alone. Tears around us. We've started this school wonderfully. We started with just our children, with homeschooling them. Now it is a proper school. But the thing is, we are not alone. We have already seen tears in the school. Yes, we bring up leaders, mentoring them every day, but you can see tears among us, the children. So what should we do? Should we throw them away? Tears all around us. I want to encourage you today by telling you that you are the good seed. You are the good wheat. You are not the tares. You are the wheat. When Jesus came and died for us and saved our lives, he planted a good seed. That's why there's a scripture I want to read for you quickly. Can I find it for you? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Pastor, are you going to find it for us? 1 Peter 1:23. What does it say? Yes. 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 We were born of imperishable seed. Now, my version, maybe the other version would say incorruptible seed. Somebody say incorruptible seed. And seed. Incorruptible what? Seed. Tell your neighbor you are the incorruptible seed. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell them you are the incorruptible seed. Now, when the master brought, can I bring this one down? Come and help me. I want to be near you. I feel there's a distance, there's a gulf.
There.
Thank you.
Or up middle.
Somebody, probably, yeah. So get ready. When I say put in the middle, then just get ready to do that. So we are born of the incorruptible seed. Sorry, sin keeps coming. Is there somebody who is sinful here? Keeps coming on. We are born of the incorruptible seed. I am the incorruptible seed. My children are incorruptible seed. This church is incorruptible seed. Your family is incorruptible seed. Your wife is incorruptible seed. And your husband. Have you ever thought at some time that your wife is the tear in your life? Or your husband? Looks like, Lord, was this really meant to be my husband? Is it not this tear that was planted in my life? Have you ever thought like that? Oh, yeah, don't raise your hand because you don't want him to know that you thought like that one time. But you all come to that point. I can talk about myself. I was telling about the man yesterday when you're talking about coming to the spinning wheel of the Lord, you know, when he mends us and molds us and presses us and, you know, make us into those wonderful vessels. And it's like when I first married my wife, for the first 2 years, our marriage was in hell. And I knew I'd made a mistake. And this is a big mistake because there's no way I could take her back to my pastor for divorce for what. But I knew I'd made a mistake. And tell you what, she also thought the same. I was making fun of it. And I said she thought that she had married a demon. And I thought I'd married an evil spirit. And I thought she was that kind of tear that the enemy planted in my life because I was a strong young man going in for prayers and the word of God and or going for righteousness. And this woman has come to destroy my life. And I thought she's the tear and I didn't know what to do. So when the servant said, should we pluck out, should we bring out these weeds, these tares, this bad wheat? The master said, no, because by doing that, you take out the good wheat. They could say it. What does that mean? There are some people that look like tares when they are not. They are just looking like tares one moment. The next moment, they'll prove that they're the good tares. Now, if you ask me about my wife, if you ever touch my wife, after 2 years, I discuss she's the most wonderful, supportive, amazing. I love her with all my heart, with all my intestines, with all my my lungs. And you see, some of you love your wives with only your heart, with all your heart. But me, with all that I am. And she's the good seed I've discovered in this world. She's the good wheat that I needed. But at one time, I thought she was tear. And she thought the same about me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Should we pluck it up? Nope. Because you cannot tell. At your level, you cannot tell which one is tear, which one is good wheat. Wait a minute. If it was good at Genesis, it would be good at the end. If it was God in the beginning, it would be God in the end. For God who started a good work in you, the Bible says he's faithful to accomplish it in you. I know the journey is not easy before you reach where the work is accomplished. It's not easy. And sometimes you think, I am the tear. But he who started a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in you. Next time I join Danny's band, we shall be able to sing this song. He who started a good work in me. Can you sing with me? Come on. He who started a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. Will be faithful to complete it. He who started a good work will be faithful to complete it in me. If he planted me seed, he will be faithful. Though the tares are all around me, though temptations are all around me, with all the encumbrances of life, he will be faithful to complete it in you and I. Come and clap for him. He's a good God. This comes to those Christians who sometimes feel they're left alone and weak. And it's like you can't even approve your salvation. You're suffering disease and suffering depression. Thoughts run to and fro in your mind, and you're not sure of Christ. You don't know whether God is there for you. Have you ever been there and you think, yes, God, you are there, but not for me. You are there for other people. I've seen people giving testimonies that you've healed them, they have lifted them, you've given them a better job. Look where I am. I don't think you are there for me, and you think you are the tear. Maybe because of the things I did that I'm not being forgiven. That's why I'm suffering all these things. I'm here to encourage you. Those are just the tears bringing encumbrances in your life. Wait a minute. The Lord will prove to you that you are the good wheat. Be encouraged. Don't be taken by the expressions of the tears. Don't be taken by the troubles that the devil brings in your life. Don't give up on your children because they've done this and that. Don't give up on your marriage because of this misunderstanding here and there. Don't give up because of that. Just give it time. My wife gave me time, and I gave her time to change. Now we are the wonderful couple, the model to many people. Tell your neighbor, give me time. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, give me time. Yeah, some people need to be given time to change. Don't call them tares so soon. Don't call them devils so soon. Jesus says it's not in your capacity to tell which one is tares or not. Wait at the end. Give them 5 years. We had a man here who said he held somebody captive in his unforgiveness for 46 years. Oh my God, that is older than me. I'm not yet 46. I'll be 46, I think, next year. Somebody holding a grudge since I was born. But he says now he's given up. He's forgiven. And I said, what did you feel all the time, all these 46 years? He says, I was dying. I was angry. I was all this and that. And I said, how are you feeling now? He said, oh, gorgeous. I said, you missed gorgeous for 46 years. You should have forgiven early enough. So don't hold on to those things. Don't hold on to that person. Call him evil what? Forgive them quickly, because probably you are holding somebody who is a prophet. Why don't you forgive so quickly? You will be wheat no matter what, whether it rains or shines. Whether it is the devil or demons, you will still be wheat. Let the enemy be there. I have a friend in Nigeria who is a powerful man of God. And I visited him. He had built this massive church. Nigeria has massive churches. Anyway, I was there and was so impressed. Looked at the building. And they built it in 12 months, just 1 year. It is a 50,000-seater church, all furnished in 1 year and debt-free. And I had a chance to talk to him, and I said, Pastor, how did you do this? What are the, the journalists want to know, what are those, and the interviewers, they want to know exactly what are the things that you went through. How did you overcome this? And I asked him, tell me about the problems you faced when you were building this, auditorium. And he said, David, I was so preoccupied by the work of God that I never realized that they were devils. Did you catch that? He was so preoccupied, he was so engaged in finishing the work that he never even thought about demons or their presence. He never felt any opposition. Now the point is, opposition was there. The demons were there. Talkers were there. But he was so taken up by the work of God that he never considered them. Now, the problem you have is you consider everything around you and you give them time. You give your enemy a lot of time. That's why they are bothering you. You give your disease a lot of time. You're looking at your legs and you're looking at your, what is this now developing? You are giving it a lot of time. Get preoccupied in the Word of God. Get involved in the Word of God. Get involved in faith. Don't give it time. And when it knows you are not giving it time, you say, oh, this one doesn't care about us, and they will leave. I've come to learn not to bother about my enemies. They're time wasters. Tears can waste your time. Now, I'm going to live like there are no devils on earth. I know they are there. Satan is there. I'm going to live like I have no body. I know I have the body and tells me all the things I need to do, but I'm going to live like I don't have it. That's how Jesus wants us to live. He says, don't walk by sight, walk by faith. I see a lot of things that really scare me. When I was given this province to lead, over 1,000 churches, with all the principalities there, if you are given to organize demons, it can be easier than to organize the church. I'm telling you. I will give you an example. You remember this man in Gadarene, if you read your Bible, who was possessed with demons and used to stay in mountains and cut himself with stones and crying out. When Jesus came to cast out the devils, he said, who are you? And they said, we are a legion. What does that mean? 5,000 soldiers. Now, these 5,000 demons, they organized in one man. But bring 5,000 Christians and put them together. You find them fighting. So it's not an easy thing. Churches can't agree. Families can't, Christian families can't agree. Pastors can't agree in the same vicinity. They can't come together to do the same thing. Everybody's doing his own thing, but demons can gather together. The principalities ruling over this area are working together to destroy churches and Christians, but Christians cannot come together. So the job I've been given to organize and unite the church is not an easy thing. If I was given to organize demons, maybe it would have been an easy job for me. But that means I need to pray and fast and ask God his wisdom to organize the church. One of the things that Jesus said, I always say the words of the dying man, the words of the dying man are the best words. Because they tell their best when they're dying. So Jesus, when he was about to die, he said, he prayed this prayer, Lord, that they may be one. That's not an easy job. But it's the tares bringing all these encumbrances. Let me tell you something. The devil knows that he cannot fight the wheat. But what he's going to do, what he's going to do, is to bring trouble around the wheat. Now, what tares do? What do the tares do? What they do, they suck the nutrients out of the same ground you are planted so that you don't bear enough fruit. That's the problem with tares. When you are planted with them, they suck out the, you know, all the nutrients, all the minerals. You share them. And you can't bring out good fruit. But the good thing I want you to know, you need to outgrow the power of the tares because they are going to be there. You need to outgrow the power, the sucking power of the wheat, I mean the tares, so that your wheat dominates the ground, the field. Do you know what I mean? So get involved in prayer. Get involved in the Word of God. Make meditation every day. How can you wake up and walk out of your house without doing your meditation, without doing your devotion? Because if you don't do that, demons have plans for you every day. And you have no plan for yourself every day. So make sure that you outgrow the power of the tares and you become like my friend in Nigeria who lived and finished, you know, this work in 1 year without thinking about demons. The truth is the demons were there, but he was so engaged in the Lord that he never realized that they were there. So rise up. Stop being weak because the tares will overcome you. We'll reduce the production. We'll reduce the fruitfulness in you. Don't give chance to the enemy. Now, let me tell you about Christian life. Isaiah says, for there is no weapon. There's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. Now, it doesn't say no weapon shall be formed. I'm talking about Christians that take things for granted. We are in war with the enemy. The church has become so weak. And it looks like the enemy is overpowering the church. There's no life. Church has become so boring. People are so depressed. Everybody's looking like there's no hope. Let me tell you, the weapons are being formed against you every day. And me. The Bible didn't say no weapon shall be formed. No. But the weapons shall be formed. They will be formed. They will be made. But the thing is, they shall not prosper. The weapons shall not prosper. And every tongue that raises against you. Now, they didn't say, no tongue shall raise against you. Because that's your prayer. Oh, Lord, I don't want enemies. I don't want, you know, any tongue rising against me. No, the Bible says they will rise against you. But the good thing is, the Lord shall condemn them. Say amen. Amen. Oh, yes. We are surrounded. That's why the Bible says we are surrounded by all these things, you know, all over, but trouble. But we are not finished. Because we are good wheat, and we shall stand. Say, I am good wheat. Whether you are tired, whether poor, rich, left alone, disappointed, divorced, you still wheat. Whatever's happened in your life, you still wheat. Nobody can unwheat you. Now, this is my own word. I create my own English while I'm here. So nobody can unquit you before you are quit. Add it to your dictionary, please. Put my son in the middle of enemies. He's still my son. Even when he has done evil, even when he's in prison, he will still be my son. We are God's children no matter what. Jesus was born in a manger amidst animals. He was Jesus. He started ministry. He healed the sick, raised the dead. He was Jesus. He was arrested. And while they had arrested him, he was Jesus. They spat at him too. You nothing. You rubbish. Tell you what, he was Jesus. He was the Son of God. Nobody could reduce his value. Nobody could change who he was. He was taken to Pontius Pilate, and he was there. He was taken to court. And then there was Barabbas and Jesus. And they asked, no, there was a law of releasing one prisoner on this day. Now they said, release Barabbas and hold Jesus. And when he was condemned, he was the Son of God. He was Jesus. He was not 99.9 Jesus. He was 100% Jesus and Son of God. Through all these problems, the tears were all around him. They took him, smacked him, beat him, and bruised him, as Isaiah says. He was Jesus. He was looking at them. The Bible says that he lost form. Isaiah 53 says that we could not even admire him. If you look at Passion of the Christ, you can see the image, what Isaiah really meant. And he was bruised. But tell you what, in his deepest sorrow and suffering, 100% was the Son of God. He was crucified. He was helpless. The disciples had deserted him because they had to run away for their lives. And he was there helpless. Tell you what, he was the good wheat. He was Jesus because he's the seed. The Bible says the seed of the woman. Genesis 3:15, the seed of a woman. There's something about the seed of God. You cannot, it is the incorruptible seed. And we are born of the incorruptible seed. While he was there, they think they had finished him. The tares thought, we have finished him. We have taken away all the life out of him, all the anointing. And they said, if you are the Son of God, take yourself from the cross. You didn't have to do that to prove. You see, don't never prove that you are, you know, what you are. I don't have to do anything to prove that I'm Katende. No. I am what I am, no matter what. No matter what, I am what I am. Then he died on the cross. He was buried. He was the Son of Jesus. They thought they had finished him, but he was the Son of God. On the third day, somebody say, on the third day. On the third day, he rose again. And tell you what, he is the Son of God, risen in glory. He ascended on high and is coming back. And is coming back. And what is he coming back for? Go back to the story we just read, that we will wait at the end. The master said, wait at the end. And when the end came, he said, get all the tares. Now, this is the time to sort out who are the tares. Now, my brother and sister, I don't want you to be sorted out as tare on that day because you are good wheat. Remember that. Remember that. And all the tares were gathered together and were thrown in fire. And we, the good wheat, we remained wheat all the way through. All the way through all sickness and sufferings we've had on earth. All the things that we encountered on earth for his name's sake. In the end, when he comes back as Jesus, he will come and take the incorruptible seed which he gave us, the power of salvation. So whatever it is today, this morning, this afternoon, I want to encourage you. Don't be discouraged. Don't you ever run away. Don't you ever think that you are tares. You are wheat, no matter what. Jesus suffered and went through all these troubles, but he remained Jesus. Nothing reduced him to anything. He was Jesus, the Son of God. You are a child of God, born by the Spirit of God, by the incorruptible seed. We are the incorruptible seed of God. And keep that faith. Keep that faith. Don't you ever lose it. I know when we go through troubles, we think God is not for us. Don't you ever lose that. Don't you ever allow the enemy to divide you and put you down or reduce your production. You are so productive that the tares should not even bother you. They should not reduce who you are. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Let me finish by this scripture. Pastor, can you open it for us quickly, please? Esther 6. Book of Esther 6, 13. There's something there that happened to Mordecai. But it's all to help you, to support you, and understand what God means. Esther, yes, 6:13. Now, as Pastor's going to read, there's a story here. There was a man called Mordecai, and there was a tear around him. You know the tear around him? If you read your Bible, what is his name? Haman. What happened? Listen to this.
He told his wife and all his friends everything that had happened to him.
Yes. Continue.
His advisors and his wife said to him, "Since Mordecai before whom is your downfall has started, is the Jewish origin, he cannot stand against him, and you will surely come to ruin."
Did you hear that? Oh, yes. There was this man called Haman. Haman was a tear in Mordecai's life and was fighting him and said, "No, he must be killed. He must be hanged." And then his wife said, "Come on, husband. You don't understand. If you're fighting Haman, if you're fighting Mordecai, and he's of Jewish origin, the incorruptible seed, if you are fighting, come on, put your name there. If you're fighting David, come on, everybody put your name there. If you're fighting David, the incorruptible seed of God." Now, his wife is advising him, "If you are tampering with it, this man who is with Jewish origin, your downfall is set." Now, Haman was a big tear, walking around, exalted in the kingdom. And guess what happened? Mordecai was a simple man, staying at the gate with sackcloth around him. But it was such a precious thing in the kingdom. Haman fought him, and in the end, Haman lost, and Mordecai was exalted. And that is you. That is you. If you were born of the incorruptible seed, whether have lunch or not, whether you are sick or not, you will prevail over your enemies. And in the end, we shall all make it to heaven. I promise you. Because Jesus promised us. I want to pray for those people whose tears have overgrown them. They are all over you. You're suffering. You're living in fear. You cannot tell the future now. I want to pray for you. Probably your family is breaking up. There are things that have started cooking underneath. And these thoughts are developing now. I think I should leave this man. I think I should leave this woman. If you are a child, young people that are here, shouldn't have gone away, but there are funny things going around your head. You want to give up. The tears are whispering to you. They're shouting in your ears, "Give up, give up, give up." I want to pray for such people. Just close your eyes now and allow the Lord to minister to you, because His power is here. He's here to encourage you and tell you that you are my son, you are my daughter. There's no doubt about that. The problems you see have been planted by the enemy. He knew exactly who did it. When the servant said, "Who did this?" The master knew exactly that this is the devil. If the devil had the power, he would have plucked out the good seed, but he had no power over the good seed. He could only plant his own around the good wheat. Father God, I want to pray for those people here. That woman who is hurting, that man who has lost hope. There are people here who are almost giving up. And God says, this is the work of the enemy. I planted you as an incorruptible seed. It's the work of the enemy that are trying to bring encumbrances in your life. And now I speak over you and I prophesy over you the power of God that you now prevail over your enemies. The tears may not go away, but the thing is, you are going to overcome their influence over you. You are going to overcome sickness and its effects in your body. Your marriage will not break. Father, I pray, I don't know who I'm speaking to, but for those thoughts that have been building up in somebody's mind to run away and go for a divorce, in the name of Jesus, I speak life in your family. Don't kick out that spouse out of your life. He, she is a good wheat, good seed. Give them time. I know the trouble they must have caused, but give them time. We all cause trouble. Father God, I pray for the leadership of this church, that they overcome the influences of the tares around the ministry. And those children whom the devil had wanted to take away and spoil. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the wheat is strength. We grow because we can do all things through Christ who gives us that strength. Give strength to your seed, O God, to prevail over the tares. Thank you, Jesus, as you minister healing to those hearts, to those bodies, souls, and spirits. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Because we are good seed from the beginning, we will be good seed in the end. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come and clap for Jesus, for his goodness. How many people believe they are good wheat? Raise up your hand, I want to see. Ooh, me too. Thank you, Pastor. I'll invite the pastor to come again now.